Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, December 14th, 2018, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Blizzard has announced the end times for one of their esports scenes. I know that's really alarming, but we'll tell you all about it. Plus, we'll be taking a look at a list of the most anticipated games of 2018 and seeing how they did. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe, not Sarah. Aw, come on.
Sorry.
Let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Do your job!
And I guess get some gaming news updates.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
League of Legends is set to play host to a new documentary series.
Can we just get Sarah back?
Yeah, this is wet.
I'm really disappointed right now.
He's a fun vacuum.
Damn. Here, I thought you would have thrown out my production while you were at it, too.
No. I got to keep that around just in case moments like this. All right, fine. Tell us about this new Netflix series.
All right, the series is titled 7 Days Out, and it focuses on major events in the week leading up to that event. Episodes will feature on things like the Westminster Dog Show, the Kentucky Derby, and NASA's Cassini mission, but one episode will be on the week leading up to the finals of the NALCS in Miami after the spring split in 2018.
Now, Joe, I actually really appreciate that description of the series, because now I know there's only maximum 2 episodes I'm going to watch.
Yeah, pretty much. The NASA episode and the League one.
Exactly.
What about the Westminster Dog Show, guys?
Really? No.
Actually,
Unless it's just the movie Best of Show, I'm not watching it.
Thank you. Yes. All you need is Fred Willard.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The Westminster Dog Show becomes watchable.
Just to see how much money they put into it, because it's stupid.
You know that
it's
the awful. Answer is going to upset you.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
In a new update, Street Fighter V has allowed in-game advertisements, and good lord, are they awful. Characters have Capcom Cup branding plastered all over them, Guile has his American flag tattoos replaced with the branding, and ads for DLC are being placed before matches. Players will earn in-game currency for the ads, but thankfully the change in logos is optional.
So, that actually wasn't as bad as I thought. Norris, explain this, because
this seems like they're just putting logo vomit on everything.
No, it is most definitely logo vomit on everything. It is optional, but in Street Fighter, you earn so little fight money doing anything that a lot of people were looking for alternate options to earn more instead of having to buy everything. And, like, if you pull up the photos of some of these changes, it's terrible. Some of them have championship belts added to their skins specifically just to put the Capcom Cup logo on.
That's ridiculous.
It's awful.
That's silly.
Epic Games has gone after a well-known leaker of Fortnite information, FNBR Leaks. In a tweet longer, the person in question said an Epic Games attorney contacted him and asked him to delete his Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Discord, and GitHub, or they would take legal action. To avoid said legal action, he has complied.
That's probably a smart idea.
Yeah, his name is Fortnite BR Leaks.
I'm not arguing with Epic's legality. They had every right to do this. But the thing about it is that, you know, I think that it might be smarter for some of these development companies to contact these leak sources and go, let's play ball instead of having take the legs out from under me. But like having those people on your side and acting as a part of your promotional campaign, that's actually, I think, a lot more smarter and forward thinking. It's sort of like the idea of
hiring the hackers.
Exactly.
Once a leaker, always
Thank
a leaker.
You.
My,
Thank
my
you,
thing
Norris.
About this is this is a guy who is known for like posting pictures of things that hadn't come out yet, which leads me to believe he probably works for Epic.
He works there.
That's actually a really good point.
In which case, no.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
As Discord continues to ramp up its competition with Steam, their store will open doors to all developers starting in 2019. The platform only takes 10% of the sales versus 12% for Epic Store and 30% for Steam. Theoretically, the competition should be a good thing, although the fragmentation in the short term will get annoying.
Okay, Discord, you need to just sit down here for a second, because here's the thing. Okay, Epic has a shot at this. Discord absolutely does not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They
without
don't.
Without a, I'm sorry, I don't see this catching on. I see this being another Origin. I see it being just
no,
another.
No, this is the exact thing. This is like going to Taco Bell and buying a pizza, right? It's one of those types of things where Discord does what they do very well, and yeah, they should do that. Everything else is just extra that I don't want, taking money away from the thing you do well.
Enjoy your tons of asset flips that are going to be plaguing the store's front page, because that's all you're going to get.
See, I think Discord, unlike Origin, the fact that Origin's restricted to like EA stuff actually hinders them, whereas Discord isn't. The problem is I don't go to Discord for that.
Yeah, but you know as well as anyone else that EA could broker those deals to get additional pieces of software on their platform. And they don't, because it's a pain in the ass.
Let's not give them any ideas. Let's not go saying things that they might do. Game Workers Unite have officially joined the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain to become the first games workers union in the UK. In a blog post, the new union has stated its focus will be on ending excessive overtime, expanding diversity and inclusion at all levels, and supporting abused or harassed workers.
Now, I'm really glad that someone in the UK has heard some of our shows, because, you know, while the games industry is over a barrel, dealing with various different countries, not just the United States, but various countries across the world, and the backlash against loot boxes, I think that that opens up a conversation about how game developers are treated as, in a work environment.
Well, and especially in response to, hearing stuff about, like, Dan Houser talking about the crunch and all that type of stuff, and how, people were working these exorbitant hours and whatnot. And I think that's really important for us to highlight, and I think it's intelligent for games workers to be unionized, because, what is an extra 2 or 3 months for us waiting on a game?
Most gamers,
as opposed to, people having humane work conditions.
And most gamers would love for companies to take a few extra months to actually put in the polish the right way instead of trying to rush it out.
Yeah, like Fallout 76.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to rapid fire a couple of these. Rumors of a new round of venture capital would see the Pokemon Go creators, Niantic, valued at nearly $4 billion.
Wow.
The company saw a large influx of players over the summer, and investors are looking to capitalize on the mobile game's success.
Wow.
One Riot executive COO Scott Gelb has been suspended for 2 months without pay and given mandatory training following his part in fostering a sexist environment at Riot. The punishment is being lambasted by former and current Riot employees for not being severe enough.
Now, I just have to mention, I read this story, and if there was any coworker that farted in my face on a regular basis, I would have physically assaulted them. I would have gotten lawyers involved way earlier than that.
It's also insult to injury the way that they say that he should be held to a higher standard, and then they slap him on the wrist.
Yeah, 2 months, get out of here.
The divide in the Fortnite community was on full display for the North American Winter Royale. Epic's insistence on live events happening on the current patch created a weird situation where the meta shifted within hours of the beginning of a tournament. Players who qualified before Season 7 dropped were suddenly met with a new meta as the Infinity Blade arrived on the scene and dominated play. It sparked a debate about fairness of play versus interest in stale metas.
That's probably fair. That's a weird thing. Epic's got to get that stuff together to get their esports scene in check.
That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We weren't able to get into the alpha for Anthem, but some of our sources were. We've got some anonymous quotes to read about the experience of playing Anthem so far.
Let's complain about it.
So, we were
seems
able to
like
get,
it, yeah.
We were able to get an anonymous source to comment on it. They say, Anthem is pretty much vertical Destiny. The mechanics don't feel super off, a bit clunky in their current form. The PC optimization is literal trash, not to mention the PC UI.
All right, listen, everything I've seen about this game, and you guys know I am probably the biggest critic of this game since the moment they announced it. None of it looks good. None of anything that I've heard from either our anonymous sources or other sources that I've seen around the internet Nah, man, it ain't looking good.
Calling it vertical Destiny, that really killed it for me. I mean, I played Destiny for all of 2 days, with friends even, and that thing could not hold my attention.
Vertical Destiny really is, I think, a big, big scathing indictment of what this game has set up and the scope of it. Destiny was not interesting enough to just go, oh, hey, adding verticality is going to add some really interesting mechanics. No, it's just a gimmick added into an already banal game.
Well, another quote, the verticality and the large maps feel really fun to explore and mess around in, but the mission types and examples are essentially the same as you would find in Warframe or Destiny.
Ooh. That's the last thing. I know Warframe has done a lot to sort of rehab its image from the time that it launched. It's almost a completely different game.
It's also
game
a free-to-play game, but so it has a lower bar.
But it's free. That's the biggest thing.
But correct me if I'm wrong, where BioWare usually makes up the difference in their game is with the narrative, and I think the lack of narrative is what really kind of concerns me the most here about Anthem.
All right, and this is an important quote, too. Now, a grain of salt with everything I've said. The forums are stating that everything from the game except tutorials, the first mission, and free play were stripped out for the alpha, which is just testing stability.
Okay.
Overall, though, they say would feel a lot better if this game was coming out in 4 to 6 months.
Not in February.
Not in February of this year. So, yikes. I mean, overall, yeah, that doesn't give you a whole lot of excitement for Anthem.
Or now, hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
I've never heard of an alpha happening this close to release. Have you?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
Exactly. So, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited or nervous for Anthem? Do you even care at this point? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got a list of the most anticipated games from 2018. We'll break it down and see how those games did. That conversation is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, Blizzard has announced the end of esports support for Heroes of the Storm. Stick around, we'll unpack that story ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Joe's found a list from back in January of the most anticipated titles of 2018. We'll look back and see how those games did. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But we've got to talk about this situation over at Blizzard. 1 month removed from BlizzCon, one of the staples of the Blizzard's esports scene is officially ending in 2018. Blizzard announced this week that Heroes of the Storm would no longer be active in the esports space with the cancellation of Heroes Global Championship and Heroes of the Dorm.
Yeah, this really rubs me the wrong way. First of all, I'm not a huge Heroes of the Storm fan. It's okay for me. Norris, I know you tried it and didn't like it. It's okay as a MOBA goes for me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy seeing the Blizzard IPs used that way. But its esports scene was relatively well-liked. It's especially collegiately, it had done fairly well as an esports title. And the fact that we are a month removed from BlizzCon, why was this not announced at BlizzCon?
And over a blog post of all things.
Why would you announce something like that at BlizzCon? You already kind of poo-pooed the party with Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
You know, and you knew that was a risky announcement.
It's tough for Blizzard to be getting dragged any more than they currently are for Diablo Immortal.
That may be fair, but if you actually start reading some of the comments, because, I mean, first of all, tons of people out of a job here. Over 200-plus players. That's not counting casters, analysts, content creators.
Mm-hmm. And they were paying their people pretty well.
They were being paid pretty well, and what a lot of them are coming out and saying now is, since BlizzCon, like, they've been sending messages to Blizzard. People have tried to be in contact, and basically, like, what's going on with the 2019 season? Mm-hmm. And all of these people found out they're now out of a job on the blog post that was just put out on the internet at the end of day.
Yeah, I think that is pretty disappointing. I would think that, you know, if you're going to end something like that, you want to try to end it with a bang, not a whimper, right?
I mean, am I crazy? Isn't the appropriate announcement 2019 will be the final season of Heroes of the Storm.
Correct.
Yeah. Esports, that, if you're going to end it.
Or at least halfway through the 2018 season, you announce.
These people deserve some warning.
You give people time.
You do.
You give people time. And I agree with you guys that this is, you know, really, really whack. And it's garbage the way I think that Blizzard handled it. However, I think, unfortunately, that moving forward, esports is going to grow, but parts of it will be streamlining. There will be companies that will be looking at their esports and going, you know, is this sustainable for
us? There is definitely going to be a process of separating the wheat from the chaff, right? We've identified, listen, not every game needs to be an esport.
Correct.
But it seems like almost every game coming out that has a competitive element in 2018 is going that direction. Not all of them are going to be able to make it. Even Blizzard, who has the golden touch at being able to establish esports scenes, is abandoning one of their esports scenes, it was anemic. I get it.
Yeah.
Heroes of the Storm was anemic. It was a scene that they had invested at least, 4 or 5 years into?
Heroes of the Storm started in 2015, I want to say.
Yeah. So pretty close to 5 years. And I think that's, you know, that's an appropriate amount of time. But I think that, Blizzard did a big disservice to all of these people that were a part of the HOTS machine by just announcing it over a blog post. And not giving proper time to allow fans, even fans of Heroes of the Storm, to you know, say their goodbyes too.
And I agree, and you guys aren't going to get any disagreement from me on that. But I do look at Blizzard and I say, if there was fat for them to trim in their
this is clearly where they've been shifting
around some of the resources. Some of the developers from Heroes of the Storm has actually been shifted around to other places in Blizzard, which, to Norris's point, like, when you have something like Overwatch that's as successful as it is, you look around, and if you need to put more resources into it, where do you take those from?
You're absolutely right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently talking about Blizzard disbanding one of their esports scenes, and I think that what makes this so shocking is that it's coming out of Blizzard, right? We just, several weeks ago on this very program, talked about Blizzard having really kind of the golden touch when it comes to being able to establish long-term esports scenes. I mean, you know, you look at StarCraft, you look at all of the different mods that came out of the Warcraft scene. They're bringing back Warcraft 3. The various things that they do with World of Warcraft. OWL, in its first season, being able to come out and make huge strides. Everything that they're doing with CWL. This is a company that is very focused on esports. And listen, the writing had to have been on the wall for all of those that were participating in HOTS going, listen, this is not taking off the way that OWL is taking off. This is not taking off the way that other esports scenes from this company are taking off. The writing had to be on the wall. I can't believe that anyone was so naive as to be hugely surprised by the dissolution of the HOTS scene.
I don't think anyone's too horribly surprised to see that, you know, Heroes of the Storm isn't being supported esports wise. It's just how soon and the way that the message was delivered, I think, is what's continuing to, you know, be that grain of sand for people.
Playing third fiddle to both Dota and League of Legends in today's esports landscape, you should have seen it coming, maybe.
You know what I can't get out of my mind, though, is that news article about Blizzard stocks being down 45% in the last couple months.
Exactly. I think that, you know, they're going to have less cash on hand to be able to invest in stuff like that and to be able to float unsuccessful products like Heroes of the Storm.
And that's really where it came down to. And that was sort of my bigger takeaway from it is that, you know, yes, I'm saddened for, you know, people losing their jobs.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I think Blizzard also sees, you know, at what potentially could become an esports bubble because so much cash is going into it so quickly.
Exactly.
I think to avoid being like the dot-coms at the turn of the century, they say, okay, hold on, we got to pull something back here.
And I think it is actually, at the end of the day, responsible for Blizzard to do that instead of propping up things that are not being able to take root, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's probably smart to cut some of that chaff, right?
Yeah, I think it probably is. And I mean, obviously, I want to say that very delicately, a lot of people are out of a job, and that's really awful. I hope they find good places to land, and, you know, there's lots of opportunities, fortunately, in the MOBA scene.
Tons of them are already talking about streaming, you know, their climb up into whatever Masters is for League of Legends.
Absolutely.
And trying to
Grandmaster.
Get into that scene.
But if you have talent at Heroes of the Storm, then you're probably going to be able to land on either Dota or League of Legends and do okay.
Do you think there's any chance that Blizzard allows a grassroots scene for Heroes of the Storm to start to take hold?
I actually think they do if they're not supporting it officially.
I hope so. I hope so. I think that's the smart
move
there.
I know they're draconian with their IPs, but I think if they're not going to support it officially, you got to let a grassroots scene continue.
I'm with you there, Norris.
I'd be really disappointed to find out that they're going to be still, you know, as strict as they are with Overwatch about something like Heroes of the Storm. If you guys aren't going to support it and there's people who want to play it competitively, you got to let them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you bummed out about Heroes of the Storm ending its esports scene? Do you think there's any chance of a grassroots scene picking up the slack? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, Joe's got a list that was made earlier this year of the most anticipated games of 2018. We'll take a look back and see how they did ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. We've redone our on-demand archive to be a podcast. That's right, Checkpoint XP Daily is now a podcast. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on our nationally syndicated radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe to Checkpoint XP Daily today at our website, CheckpointXP.com. So Joe's found a bit of a unique list for us to look at today. It was created back in January of this year and was outlining the 15 most anticipated games of 2018. So we decided to take a look back and see how they did.
Yeah, I like this kind of
report card.
Rather than just, these RPG games aren't any good at all. It's just, let's actually take a look at what was expected to be fun.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, actually pretty fair. It's a unique look at what we were expecting and getting hyped for in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to
we
see.
We should do this with one of our own lists.
You know what? That's actually a great idea,
fair,
Norris. That's a great idea. All right. So let's take a look at the top anticipated games list of 2018 from back in January. And where's this list from?
This one's coming to us courtesy of Nerdist.
All right, coming to us from Nerdist then.
All right, so Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which
that's
still has not released.
That is not out yet.
That was delayed into 2019.
Indie games will still not meet target dates a lot.
I'm not
going to
hold that against them.
Yeah, not against them.
All right.
I don't know that it was. Hang on. I actually kind of want to quibble with the fact that it was like the most anticipated game in 2018. Really?
I don't know that
this
it was
is not
the,
in
no particular order.
I know, but like this made the top 15?
It
made
did.
Their top 15.
Yeah, no, Robbie, you played Ori and the Blind Forest.
Actually, I have it, but I haven't played it. Those types of like side scrolling ones aren't really like my, you know, my sort of mode,
those
man.
Good game.
But,
well, here's
but
the thing.
That's
after
the thing.
We
the
could...
people who do play it love it.
Yeah. After we do these 15, let me know if you think something got left off that should have gone
okay,
there.
Okay.
All right. Crackdown 3. Delayed
still
into February
not out
2019.
Yet. How many more times are we going to get to see Terry Crews in a trailer
hey,
for that?
Hey, man, it's all good. Get your checks, Terry.
Yeah, but like, honestly, they're not utilizing
though.
Him well, though. There's
no,
been
they're
one,
not.
There's been one kind of over-the-top goofy ad for it. The rest have been really boring.
All right. God of War.
Yes.
Best
all
game
right.
of the year.
One game of the year. Obviously, that one did fairly well, I
think.
Yeah,
I would say that that's probably pretty well justified right there.
Yeah.
It did come out in 2018, and indeed, as you guys had noticed, at the Game Awards, winning Game of the Year for 2018.
How about Detroit Become Human?
All right. I played through this game, and I played through it a couple times, actually.
This should never have been on a most anticipated list, just because of the fact that David Cage was making it.
I don't want to say that.
I enjoyed it.
I don't want to say that.
Were you looking forward to it? Like, in the run-up to it?
In a weird masochistic way, I was.
Dreaded list of 2018.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, now, I was looking forward to it being complete trash, which it's not. It's not complete
now, were
trash.
Were you looking forward to it more for the fact of the game, or more for the fact that it was set in Detroit?
No, I was looking, first of all, I was looking to how much they would screw Detroit up.
Yeah.
But I was more so looking forward because it, when I read more about it, it had a story that was interesting and it went interesting places. It just didn't pay any of it.
It definitely had an emotional heart. Omega Waltall in our chat saying, totally not about slavery, the game.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's pretty much, if you want an allegorical story about slavery, that's a really good one. But at the same time, it resolves in the way that every David Cage game does, which is just
badly,
batshit crazy.
Yeah. All right, how about Spider-Man?
Made it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
A game we've been looking forward to since, what, E3 2017?
Since it was announced.
Yeah, and it was
awesome.
It lived up to it.
No game has done Spider-Man better.
Yeah.
Period.
There have been
some good Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
So.
It's true. Shadow of the Colossus remake.
It's Shadow of the Colossus.
But it's so much better because it's so good.
The remaster was that good?
Not the remaster, the remake.
Oh, the actual full remake.
It's out, and it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. It's super good. Dragon Ball FighterZ.
See, hold on. Not only did this game come out and be great, this game came out and was greater than so many other fighting games.
It's true.
That it completely supplanted Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
I forgot it came out this year. Like, I thought that it's been out. That's how good
it's
done.
That's what I'm saying. It came out so good.
It came out very early in the year, though.
February.
Yeah, no, but it was so good. You felt like it had always been there.
Yeah, that's true. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on the ESPN Pittsburgh. We're currently going through a list from Stuff.tv of the 15 most anticipated games coming out in 2018. So far, we're about 50-50 on how many of these games actually saw the light of day in 2018. But we're going through and kind of giving a little report card for each one and saying if they really deserve to be on this list or not.
All right, so up next we got Red Dead Redemption 2.
Come on.
Nobody's arguing that.
Come
on, buddy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That one makes all of the sense in the world. Getting a lot of nods, technical nods at the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, did this deserve to be anticipated?
Yes.
Did it deserve to be great? And
yes.
It was great. And yes. So
everyone wins.
All of the criteria has been checked.
Fair enough. All right. Next up, we have Anthem, which obviously did not make it here. Did not make it in 2018.
It didn't even get close to 2018.
No, I mean,
no one's anticipating it.
It's February 2019. I mean, like,
bro, we're lucky. We are so lucky if it hits February.
At the same, that's what I was. I was just gonna go. Yeah, but is it gonna hit February? I don't. It's alpha
mid-December,
now,
bro.
It's in its alpha now. Come on,
mid-December.
No way.
I can't go off it until I hear a delay, man. Up next. Far Cry 5.
See, Robbie, you played through Far Cry.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And honestly, as much as the ending upset a lot of people, I thought it was really brave on the developers to go there. And now that it's paying off with Far Cry New Dawn, I'm really, really excited for that.
See,
as well.
Far Cry is one of those games where people who I know who play Far Cry games
love them.
They love them.
Love them.
They really enjoy them.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that that's interesting. Crytek definitely did a very good job with Far Cry 5. And I think, you know what, Robbie, you hit on something interesting. The DLC and how it pays off that ending, I think, is really interesting here.
Up next, we got Mega Man 11. Now, I was going to disagree with this, except there's someone in our office who every chance he gets comes up and talks to us about how great Mega Man 11 is.
Really?
Yeah. It's, yeah. The guy with the white.
Oh, weird beard. Yeah, weird beard from the Bounce. Yeah.
Yeah. He comes up all the time. And he was like, at least when it was like new out, he was like, "Oh, have you guys played Mega Man 11 yet?" I'm like, "No."
I mean,
it's great.
It's a Mega Man game.
It's Mega Man.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what more you wanted from that. But I mean, I guess if you're a fan of Mega Man, that is a quintessential experience.
Which I am, and I love it. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we have Kingdom Hearts 3, which did not make the cut.
That's four now.
January 2019.
Oh, Square Enix. That's so predictable.
Go away.
Yeah.
And now the last one I'm really confused about because I didn't think it ever was going to be released in 2018.
I never heard a release date for 2018 attached to this. No.
I never heard a release date attached to this at all.
No, not until the Video Game Awards.
Exactly.
Awards. Exactly.
So the last one on the list is Psychonauts 2. Now, from an anticipation standpoint, absolutely.
How
totally.
Is Smash not on this list?
Actually, great.
What the heck?
Wait, Smash
question.
Was announced last year?
Robbie, that's an amazing question. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we've known
right.
about Smash for a while now. How did Smash not make this list?
Hold up.
Great question. Psychonauts 2, though, absolutely has been anticipated for far longer than a year, more along the lines of like 12 years.
So there's only 14 on here. The fifth one is Smash. I do want to apologize to you for that, Robbie.
Okay.
Give me a heart attack. Smash did make this list.
Wait, so Ori and the Will of the Wisps got higher placement than Smash?
This is not an order. It's not an order.
Still, though, the fact that it was
before in their minds.
Yeah, exactly. it's just ridiculous. Listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of this list? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP Daily. Thanks for joining us for today. Checkpoint XP Daily is the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website over at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts, interviews, and more. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.